Blog Talk Radio.
Women have the power to transform this world. We can end crime and violence if we all agree to do one thing, share. Let's share our wisdom, share our time, share our talents, share our finances, but most of all, let's share our love. This is the Female Solution. Join me, Naima Latif, every morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, as we bring you stimulating discussions about the issues affecting our lives. If you're listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution, press the blue button that says follow and get our daily topics every morning directly to your email and your smartphone.
I'm going to hit option one to see if we can get on with her.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Radio Show.
That's okay.
We invite you to call in 515-605-9325 and participate in this daily think tank as we examine the challenges we face and develop solutions that restore peace and harmony. We are global transformers, changing the world from the way it is to the way it should be. We are one. Wherever we live on this earth, we are one human family. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to extend a greeting to all the members of our family, whenever and wherever you may be listening around the world.
So
to our family
to
in China, ni hao. In India,
I'm gonna call
namaste. In Japan, konnichiwa. In Korea, 안녕하세요. In Russia, zdrastuytsye. In Germany, guten tag. In Poland, dzień dobry. In France, bonjour. In Spain, hola. In Italy, ciao. In Egypt, ahlan wa sahlan. In Ghana, akwaba. In Nigeria, peleo. In South Africa, saubona. In Senegal, nangadef. In Kenya, jambo. In Israel, shalom. In Pakistan, Afghanistan, and Saudi Arabia, assalamu alaikum. Greetings, and may peace be upon you all.
Well, thank you so very much for being here with the Neighborship of Joy this morning with Mama Joy and Reverend Rosemary Bookstein. And, of course, we have our guest today is Evangelist Kathy Ellington, who will join us today. So we're going to get started, but let's see. What are we going to do? Let's get our introduction in, right? All right, here we go.
They're having trouble.
You're on hold. Okay, I don't know what's happening with my music. I gave them the number. Let me give them the number again. This is 513. Okay, hold on a second.
I believe.
Well, I tell you, we need a little help today. Well, hey, Grand Rising to each and every one of you. Thank you and welcome to the Neighborship of Joy and Powerful Conversations with Mama Joy and Reverend Rosemary Bookstein. And our co-host today, along with us, is Evangelist Kathy Ellerton, who we'll be introducing to you later in our show. We're just happy to have you here on the Neighborship here with us. And our target today is our youth. You know, we encourage women to walk in their light and the light of God, because we know that we are a part of that divine creation. And I tell you, are you here, Reverend Rosemary, are you here?
Yes, I am. I'm here.
Wonderful. I tell you, we've had a challenge today. We're not doing a visual. We're on our, audio live stream of our Block Talk Radio. And we are excited today because we have a wonderful guest today, Reverend Evangelist, I should say, Evangelist Kathy Ellerton. And she's going to be talking with us today about the power of talk therapy. And, oh, I tell you, we're going to have our youth, we're going to be bringing them on the line today and welcoming our youth, Princess. I got to call them princesses because, you know, we all come from that royal blood, the heavenly kingdom there. Teen Ashanti, Princess Talia, and Winter Star. And we hope that Marturo will be able to join us. And we're saying that Princess Mara is here. And Mara, if you you and Ashanti and those that whose name I'm called, press one so that we know that you're here and we can welcome you in. So we thank you. As our topic is here, what is talk therapy and how does it work in times of our grief and loss? And in the midst of all these things we are hearing today, thank you. I'm going to, when I called your name, I'm going to ask that you identify yourself, okay? So is Evangelist Kathy with us now?
Yes, I'm here.
You are? Would you press one for me, please, so I can see where your number is? You know, we have been doing a StreamYard and Facebook, and today we ran into a challenge, and we won't be able to do that. So that's you on 0024 or 664-828?
No, I'm 1962.
Well, your hand is already up. All righty. And I got 6428. Who's that? What about 0024? That's you, Bookstein?
Yeah, that's me.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great.
That's us. 0024 is us. Ashanti, Talia, me, Pauline, Aya, and Tamara is also chimed in.
That's, we got the whole family on one another. Where is it from? Okay, I don't know how that's going to work. But if they could get their own phone, that'll be great. Okay, we got to welcome you all. You know, we have a lot of things going on in this day and time, and just bear with us as we bring some order to what it is that we're doing for today. So we have so many comments about our young people, and the question is: are our children really out of control, or are our children just screaming for help? You know, we are always putting our children outside of our care, outside of our lives, and it makes them feel that they don't belong. And, you know, a few weeks ago, I just wanted to lay down a little understanding of how we came to this topic and discussion and why we asked for our grief counselor, Kathy Ellerton, to come on and to have a talk with us about it, is because here in Chicago we have experienced a number of things with our young people, and they were literally out on Michigan Avenue in the famous Loop here in Chicago. And it caused for a great concern for many of us here as to what is on our children's mind. And so this really led me to ask the question, are the children out of control, or are they just asking for help? Because as adults, you know, we have a certain amount of knowledge and time and wisdom, but our children don't. But they have this energy, and the power of God is in them. And so they're not aware of these things. And so things happening all around us, you know, mostly not too nice things, but we as adults can handle that to some degree. But our children, so are they really out of control, or are they asking for help from us? And so they called in Evangelist Kathy Ellington. Not only that, but I had an opportunity to go and visit with her. Are you here?
I'm here.
Ellington? Wonderful, wonderful.
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, and Reverend Rosemary, what is your thought on that? And then we can move on to her sharing her story and how she got into this ministry of the power talk, the talk therapy.
I think what you said, our children are asking for help, and they're also out of control. So, but before I go any farther, I would like for Evangelist Kathy to just give us an introduction as to what it is that we will be talking about this afternoon. How about that, Evangelist Kathy? Can you do that?
Yes, ma'am. Can you hear me clearly?
Mm-hmm. I hear you very well. Thank you.
All right. Let me just explain to you what I am and what I do. Since 2004, I have been involved in what I call grief therapy or grief help. I am a person who experienced the transitioning or the death of my mother. My mother died after complications with diabetes, high blood pressure. She died. And after my mother died, I was extremely suicidal. Every morning I was waking up trying to figure out, see, how can I kill myself today? Can I cut my wrist? Can I take pills? What can I do? Because I just didn't understand what grief was. I did not have anyone to talk to because my mom was my ride or die, the wind beneath my wings. So I had no knowledge of what grief was, how to process my feelings or emotions associated with grief. And I was just existing, just going through the motions, just zoning out day by day. An elderly lady at my church, actually she's my mentor, her name is Darlene Lewis. She's a certified bereavement specialist. She noticed a change in my behavior. I went from a very outgoing, happy, bubbly-go-lucky person to a person that was extremely withdrawn, did not want to talk to anyone, was just the expression on my face. I wasn't saying anything, but she said that she could see that there was a definite change in my behavior. She saw that there was something different about me, and the rest is history. She began to mentor me, and Darlene Lewis eventually was the catalyst for me going to school, getting all my training in grief or bereavement therapy. And because of that training and all the years I've had working with young people, middle-aged people, and even senior citizens grieving, that has been extremely beneficial. So what I do, not just on this phone line today, I can be in Walmart and Walgreens, and you will meet someone. It's amazing how every person on the planet has experienced some type of loss, whether it be health, your job, a relationship, a sudden death of a friend or classmate. So that's what I do. I help people to understand the feelings and emotions that are associated with grief. That's what I do. And the young people here in Chicago, it's not so much as them crying out for help. I believe they are reacting to what they are going through. These young people today are experiencing going to funerals of their classmates, whether it be sudden by death or car accident. They're going through a variance of emotions, and they really don't know how to process these feelings, so they're acting out. That's what I believe what's going on.
That's very good. You know, so you're confirming our concern, at least my concern too, as to how we are describing relieving our children as out of control, but we are having children
who are hurting, who are not aware of their own pain, I would think. Like you're saying, when they lose a classmate, or they move or leave classes, any shift or change in our children's lives impact them in a way that we as parents or guardians are not really aware of, and there is a loss. And that any loss, would you say, who should initiate that conversation? How can we? Are there symptoms that shows us we should be aware of?
Well, we should be attentive. As an example, as with me, I'm a perfect example, and with young people today, you can tell if you pay attention. It could be a 3-year-old, 5-year-old. There's a difference in behavior. You can tell by their outward appearance. And then if you open up or have a child or a young person feel comfortable to ask you questions, there are questions. A young person will say, why did they die? What happened? I don't understand. You know, you just get them to be comfortable with talking to you, and that's what happened to me, and they will open up and express themselves, but you have to be attentive. Unfortunately, the inner city youth here in Chicago, we just don't have it in place. I have to say in the inner city, because in Worth, Illinois, and also in Des Plaines, there's an organization, they're called LOSS, L-O-S-S. They meet every first Monday of the month, and they support young people, but they're in Worth, Illinois. They're in Des Plaines, Illinois. I don't know anyone here in Chicago. It's called LOSS. It's the Loss Program for Children and Youth. So I'm trying to incorporate something here on the south side of Chicago.
So that's a loss. That's a grief program that's in Des Plaines. Are you aware of that,
yes.
Reverend Rosemary? Have you heard of that?
No, I haven't. I have not heard of that.
Yeah. Well,
and it's a grief.
Reverend Rosemary, and even you, Mama Joy, you wouldn't know about it unless you're in that grief industry, I mean, the field that I'm in. And that's why it's so important for us together with you, Reverend Rosemary, and Mama Joy, for us to have this talk therapy session, prayerfully this Saturday and ongoing, where we will get young people to even call in or just talk to us about what they're feeling, and that will help tremendously. Reach one, teach one. Queen Ashante has other people on the line with her, and we would just talk about what we can do to help these young people in Chicago, because I'm in the Englewood community now.
Okay.
Well, I just got a text that I'm on screen.
You on the screen? Oh, is that?
Well, let me click on it. Let me see.
All righty. Well, okay, then. Is Ashante here? Ashante?
I'm on the screen.
Okay, I'm looking at her. Is Princess Ashante is not here? What about Talia? I know you all were here.
I'm on the screen now.
Oh, you're on the screen. So you are on StreamYard? More power for you. Okay, well, this is interesting. And I'm not. Reverend Rosemary, are you on StreamYard?
No, I'm not. Not that savvy.
We're doing magic today, people. I tell you, we're doing all kind of technological gymnastics. Some of us are on StreamYard. Some of us, majority of us, we're on. Are any of our guests? Is your guest here, Reverend Rosemary? What is her name? Myra. Is Myra?
Yes, yes.
Myra here? If you are here, Myra, press 1, please, so I'll know where to put you on. Okay, so Myra's not here. Martrell's not here. Winter Star, are you here? I don't believe it. Okay, well, I was talking to them, so I don't know what happened to them. I don't know what happened to them. But this loss, I've never heard it. And you call this, we're part of the grief industry. I've never heard a description like that. Not a grief organization. So to
as a counselor. I'm a grief specialist. That just means that I've had a lot of training in grief and had a lot of sessions in grief. And if you haven't been in training or talking to people constantly back to back, then of course you're not going to understand, wow, why is this kid so withdrawn? Why don't they want to talk? Why are they so hostile? What's going on with these children? Unless you've talked to hundreds and hundreds of children, you wouldn't understand totally. You know, you can empathize with them, but when you've had a lot of conversations with young people grieving, you have more knowledge. Our people perish for lack of knowledge.
Young people grieving,
yes.
That's powerful. And do you think that that is something commonplace? I see your hand up at 5109. You have a question. Just identify yourself and let us know who you are and where you are. It's 5109. Who are you? And can you tell us where you're from and your question or your comment? At 5109.
This is Winter.
It's who?
Hi,
oh,
Winter.
Yeah, which is Princess Winter Star, my neighbor. How are you?
Hi. I'm good.
Great.
How are you?
So Evangelist Ellington speaking about her situation and the symptoms for young people. Do you have any comments? Have you experienced some grief or our loss that you want to share with us, and we'd like to know what, if you can, and then let us know if you had something to talk to do. Have you experienced that? You want to share a story with us?
Well, I did lose somebody. They got shot, I think. They got shot. It was the baby in the car, and it was his older brother. And I was a cheerleader for the football team that he played on. And I talked to him. I had a conversation. Like, he was like one of my friends. And when I found out that he got killed, I was confused, but I was like, I don't know how I felt. It's nothing I can really explain. And I did feel somewhere, like things was going on at school. He didn't go to my school, though. It was just like things with me that was going on in my school, and I wasn't able to focus in class. It was just me thinking about the situation with him and thinking, like, is it going to happen to me next? Because a lot of girls are dying. They're getting killed. Like, it's a lot of girls.
Now you have to slow down. You know, you're talking real fast. You say you got confused.
No, I understand exactly what she's saying, Mama Joy. Mm-hmm. She can keep talking fast, because then I get it. It was sudden. It was a sudden death. Someone that she knew. Keep talking. I'm listening.
That was really it that I had to say.
Yeah. So you weren't. Of course, you weren't expecting that, because you knew him. You had right, and because it was a sudden death, that makes it even more impactful. It's like. You know, it's like if you've ever been in a car driving with someone, and then all of a sudden, can you just imagine like this Mack truck just comes out of nowhere and just hits you, and you're in this car, and you're like, wow, what was that? So even though you were a cheerleader and accustomed to, you know, cheering everyone on, when that happened, when he got shot and killed, that was a sudden death for you, a sudden loss. And you had a lot of emotions that are associated with a sudden death or any type of loss, because grief is a personal reaction to a loss. And that's what we talk about here at this talk therapy, is that everyone grieves differently. And even though, you know, you were a cheerleader and, you know, you've seen him and you had some type of dealings with him, the way you reacted to his death was different than other people. And what we do is just help you to understand that it's actually normal, the feelings that you feel, like feeling numb, disbelief, like, wow, why did that happen? Or feeling like, man, I wonder if that'll happen to me, because it was sudden, right?
Mm-hmm.
You weren't expecting it to happen. And you might have experienced some eating or sleeping changes, dreams, lack of appetite or eating too much. There are a lot of feelings that are associated with grief that you might have experienced since it happened, especially with just everything's like off. Do you ever feel like you're not the same, you're different? We call it a different normal.
Yeah.
You're different, right? So, and the reason why we call it a different normal is because the normal that you were before and the normal that you are now is two different normals, because he's not around anymore. You knew him.
Mm. Mm. Went to Star?
Yeah.
Okay. What's your response to that? What are your feelings? What are your feelings now?
Mm-hmm. I don't really feel any way at the moment. I don't feel no type of way.
That's normal. Feeling numb.
No.
Disbelief.
All those feelings really aren't. You know more. I don't know.
Well, how long ago was it that he transitioned?
In February.
In February?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The reason why I said that, once you start, is because the initial grieving process, even if it were a classmate or family member, is the first year. In other words, the first year in grief, you go through, a lot of people will say that, oh, I don't feel anything, I'm numb, I just disbelief and shock. There are a lot of different feelings that are associated with it. It just happened in February, you said, right?
Yes.
Yeah, it's just 3 months ago. So you might, you know, as time goes on, because, again, grief is a personal reaction to a loss. So no two people grieve the same. There are other people in your school that I'm sure are going through their own variants of emotions and feelings. Some people smoke a little bit more weed. Some people drink a little bit more. Some people don't talk about it. Some people hit other people. They act out different ways to process their grief.
Yeah, Evangelist, Kathy, you know, you're as a child, would something like that impact on their schooling, since she's not into that of activity that you mentioned, but with children, what are some of the symptoms that they would have that they would be able to notice in themselves if something is happening? You know, I remember my teacher speaking to me when I was when in seventh grade, and I didn't know what was going on with me. I lost my grandfather, but I didn't think that had impacted on me. You know, it was just my grandfather, and I didn't understand that it was going to change me. And my teacher, my principal, called me in and asked me what had happened. I said, nothing had happened. He said, well, you're acting different. I said, no, nothing's happened. And so he got to me the next day. He says, you're not the same person. And so I said, well, no, nothing's happened. He said, what's happening at home? Did anything change at home? And then I tell him, I said, oh, well, my grandpa died. And he screamed. He said, your grandfather died and you didn't say anything to me? George, that's a big thing. You lost your grandfather. And I had taken that today as my grandpa and somebody else's grandpa and whatever my feelings were. But I didn't know that it was impacting upon my homework, was impacting upon my how I acted with my friends. So, and it wasn't went to start until, and Kathy, until we started working on this program that I realized that I had a principal who showed me that there were symptoms. I had made some changes, significant changes. And so we're going to ask this 002 to come in and see what they want to chime in on. Is this Talia or anyone from the Woods family? Are you all in? Okay.
Can you hear us? Are you able to hear us?
Yeah, I can hear you. Talia. I can hear you.
Okay, yeah, Talia and Ashanti, they're chimed in. They was trying to let you know they're here. Talia,
okay.
Ashanti. Hey, Grandma. It wasn't working earlier for some reason. We was here. You just couldn't hear us.
Okay, sorry about that. Okay. So you want to share with us a story? She went to Star, shared her story.
Oh, yeah, you can talk. She can hear you. I don't really have any stories that have to deal with grief or losing someone or trauma. A girl at my high school did pass away due to a car crash, but I didn't know her personally. We were just classmates.
Now, Talia, we're not talking about just from your classmate from the car accident. A loss, Talia, could be, you know, me, Talia, I was trying out for this job. I wanted to get this job, and I didn't get it. I couldn't believe I didn't even get this job. Or you might have had a relationship, Talia, with someone that you really had a lot of fun with, and all of a sudden they turned key on you and stopped talking to you, or you felt like they let you down. That's a loss. So, Talia, any loss, it could be, oh, I was playing one day and I fell down and I hurt my leg and I wasn't able to do the things I wanted to do because the doctor put a cast on my leg. And so any type of loss, Talia, is what we're talking about. Not just death. It could be health. It could be psychologically. You know, you might feel depression. You know, maybe Talia was feeling all bubbly, happy-go-lucky for months and months at a time. And then all of a sudden, Talia, you just like, oh, man, I just don't feel like doing nothing. I don't have no energy. So any type of loss is what we're talking about, not just death. It could be any type of loss.
Moving away from your schools, you know. Well, you know what? We have to have a commercial right here. So Ashanti and Winter and whoever else. And parents, we want you to key in too. We want, you know, this is what we're targeting the children. But if the parents are here, we want to hear voices because what Kathy, this grief counselor, is bringing to us information that can empower us to be more effective in bringing some healing to ourselves and our families. So let's go to a commercial. We'll be back in about 3 minutes, and you think on those questions that Evangelist Kathy has brought to us, our certified grief counselor, and Reverend Rosemary. You can chime in at any time. We'll be right back.
Okay.
You are tuned in to the Soulful Chicago Book Fair 2020 Vision Fundraising Campaign. That's right. You can support the vision.
Okay, I'm here.
What happens when a group of people are kidnapped from their homes, smuggled away in chains, and held captive in a foreign land where they are tortured, raped, and forced to perform hard labor by the lash of a whip and under the constant threat of death? Slavery, the African-American psychic trauma. What happens to the doctors, writers, scientists, builders, educators, and spiritual leaders from Africa's golden age? Who did they really capture and sell into slavery? Are all African Americans suffering from psychic trauma because of a conspiracy to hide their true identities? Do you have psychic trauma? Take the test on page 22 of the book and see. Order it online today at www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com. And get your personally autographed copy of the book, Slavery, the African American Psychic Trauma.
We have an opportunity to transform the whole global society in the next 50 years. 50 years from now, the earth will be populated by a new generation of adults, many of whom are yet unborn. Our mission is to nurture them in childhood with love, guidance, and protection, and to raise them in healthy, happy families. If we impart values of compassion, generosity, and respect for fellow human beings in the next generation of children, they will create a world where people can live together in peace. This is our goal. Be a part of the transformation. Get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. Go to www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com.
Are you constantly arguing with your spouse? Are your children misbehaving and acting out? Is someone in your family abusing drugs? Have you been the victim of domestic violence? Are you grieving over the loss of a loved one? Let us help you restore serenity to your life. At Serenity Family Social Services, we understand that good mental health is the result of emotional well-being. Our goal is to assist you and your family in removing emotional distress and restoring harmony and balance to your lives. We offer individual, couples, and family counseling. I'm Howard Williams, CEO of Serenity Family Social Services. Call us today at 312-315-4820. That's 312-315-4820.
Well, welcome back, welcome back, welcome back, and we're hoping that you stayed and didn't stray away. So here we are. This is Mama Joy, along with Reverend Rosemary Bookstein, and our coach, grief coach, or grief counselor, Kathy Ellington. And there's a question on the table right now. Reverend Rosemary, do you want to key in on anything right now?
Well, I could say that, you know, everyone experiences a loss of some kind, and grief is normally associated with death. But grief is an internal reaction to an external event, and each person's style of grieving is as unique as his fingerprint. So there is no right way to grieve, okay? So as changes occur, there may be feelings of loss associated with them that we're not familiar with. We talked about that the last part of the last session. So some of those things may be change in social standing, geographical move, children leaving home, loss of friendships, change in employment, change in marital status, even retirement, physical changes, loss of freedom, financial crisis, national and world disasters, what we see going around now in the world that could cause grief. So multiple changes create cumulative grief. Now, in the words of Robert Bernard from his book, Finding Yourself in Transition, indeed, every change is a type of death, and a death to an old way of living, a death to an old way of living or being. So we grieve for many things. So it's not just losing someone in death. So what we are, as grief counselors and ministers and prayer chaplains, it's not for us to take the pain away. That's not our job. Our job is to hold the high watch that knows no matter what the person can move through this. Just let them know that they can move through this. That's our job, not to take the pain away, because in grieving, it's very important to go through the steps of grieving, okay? I remember when my mom died, I was very young, and I had so many other things going on. I didn't know that I hadn't really grieved. You know, I had things to do. I had a young child. I had just a lot of other things going on in my life. So about some years later, I was calling around. I called the cemetery because I wanted to put a gravestone. What do you call it? Tombstone? No.
Yeah.
On her grave.
Yeah, grave marker, yeah.
Called And the lady said, oh, yes, we do have. And she gave me the plot number and everything, and I lost it. I mean, I had never really grieved. I lost it. I couldn't stop crying. The emotion that hit me at the time was unbelievable. And this was years later. Years later.
We grieve
in different ways. And so we just have to allow the person to, and you know, sometimes when there's a loss of not just death, but a loss of employment or money or whatever, health, what was I going to say? Sometimes during that loss, you know, people don't know that we're grieving, loss of a relationship even. And we need to be able to talk with other people. Just, you know, not questioning the person unless you are a grief counselor like Evangelist Kathy, but just talking to other people and letting that tension, that emotion come out, okay? So like I told Kathy, like I mentioned to Kathy last time we were on the phone, that she has a gift that she actually can discern folks grieving. You know, everybody does this, that gift. So that's what I want to say about that.
Well, Reverend Rosemary, thank you so
much. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Thank you for your comments, Reverend Rosemary. And I will have to say that, Mama Joy, well, Reverend Rosemary, I'm glad that she brought up about the cemetery, because what she experienced is what we refer to as a trigger. And in other words, if a trigger can be a smell of food, a song you hear on the radio, or in her case, the plot at the cemetery, and it'll bring back the initial response that you had when your loved one made their transition. And it's called a trigger. Now, just like Talia and Winter Star were talking about how they, oh, I'm okay, or I haven't experienced a loss. And like Mama Joy said, when her grandfather transitioned, or her grandfather died, she didn't, Mama Joy, as a child, because children process grief differently than adults.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the principal at Mama Joy's school that noticed there's something different about this child. And the principal took the time to actually talk, just like you said, Reverend Rosemary, just talking. And I am always amazed, me, Kathy, I'm amazed at the amount of people I meet at Walmart or I meet at Walgreens that will just start talking to me about who died that they have a love relationship with, because grief is universal, but no two people grieve the same. You're right, Reverend Rosemary. Grief is a personal reaction to a loss. Some people will hold in their grief and not express it. Like Mama Joy, as a child, she wasn't taught as a child to express her feelings, right, Mama Joy?
That's right. I was just a kid. It's hard for people to believe that.
Kid.
But yes.
She was just a kid. And back then, even now, some family members will tell the kids, you know, everyone has to die. Suck it up. People die. But, you know, that's how they react, because grief is personal and no two people grieve the same. But, you know, I believe that knowledge is power. When you know better, you'll do better. Reach one, teach one. What we're saying over the phone today, there might be something said that Ashante or Talia or Winter Star might hear that will help them to help one of their peers in school. Because,
you know,
everyone grieves differently.
I'm going to interject it, because I know you're going to be leaving soon, but I wanted Reverend Rosemary to read that list again. That was a great list that identified the different kinds of losses, and to let it connect with what you're saying, Kathy, because we always think of loss as a death. But Reverend Rosemary, can you read that list again so that everyone can hear? And they may not even know why their life is being impacted the way, because they have not learned what has impacted their lives. That list, please. Could you read it again, please?
Yeah, I was saying that grief is an internal reaction to an external event, which is not always death. And as changes occur, there may be feelings of loss associated with them that we are not familiar with, such as a change in social standing. You know, if you have a really great position and all of a sudden you're not there anymore for whatever reason, and so that can cause grief. And moving from one state to another or from one nation to another, that can cause grief because you've left your normal surroundings, okay? And children leaving home. And that could be very well saying kids going away to college. You tend to think that, okay, you're 18, you're an adult, but at 18, you're really a child, okay? And now you're going away to a totally new environment. You don't know anybody there. You're sharing a space with a strange person, maybe not even your nationality. And then there's loss of friendships, which could be loss of friendships could be your friends, or it could also be your boyfriend or your girl, you know, your mate, okay? And a change in employment. Again, you may not even know, you know, you have to go through orientation, and that can cause a certain amount of anxiety as well. A change in marital status, getting divorced, and even getting married, okay, can cause a lot of stress. Retirement, you know, because I always say if you're getting ready to retire, if you're going to retire within the next 5 years or so, you should prepare for retirement because okay, you're working 8 hours a day. It's taking you maybe an hour to get there, an hour to get back, so that's 10 hours, and it's taking you an hour to prepare yourself to get there. So now that's 11 hours of your day that you know exactly what it is you're going to do. And then when you get home, you know, after those 11 hours, you know, the day is just full. But now after retirement, if you haven't prepared for retirement, you have all this time on your hand because you have not prepared for that retirement. And then there are physical changes, okay, and financial crisis, and national and world disasters, things that we're going through today with earthquakes and bombings, and all of this can actually cause anxieties and grief within us, things we don't even know that we're getting upset about. And the pandemic that we just went through caused a lot. Excuse me? Caused a lot of isolation and some depression. Just a lot of things are going on. But when we recognize that these are some changes due to grief, that we are grieving through this, then maybe we could handle it a little bit more. What do you think about that, Evangelist Kathy?
Well, I believe that with children, the way children process grief is different from adults. Adults, we are a little bit more... We have more, yeah, they process, kids are real quick to say, like Ashanti said, I'm out of it. Right, Ashanti? Yeah, they'll just make a blanket statement, I'm out of it. Right, Ashanti? Are you there?
Ashanti,
is she still there? Oh, she's not there. Okay, well,
yeah.
What I was saying is that Reverend Rosemary was talking about the external circumstances and how, but remember what grief is. It's a personal reaction to a loss. But children, their reactions to grief are totally different than adults. And with children, it's building up confidence. They have to have confidence in you that they can trust you to talk
can
to you.
Ruined.
That's what.
I heard somebody.
I heard.
All right.
I heard
Ashanti. Ashanti.
Yeah.
You either speak up. Or did you press one?
We have
that's Ashanti.
I hear you.
Okay.
I
all right.
You can. Hello.
Kat, Kathy was asking a question. Did you hear her question?
Can you repeat it? You were glitching.
Yes, I was telling Reverend Rosemary and Mama Joy that kids your age. Their reactions to a personal reaction to a loss, that's what grief is different than adults. because peers your age will make a blanket statement, I'm out of it. Something happened. They'll just say, I'm out of it. And they don't really don't go into detail about what their feelings and all the different emotions. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah.
And because of because of social media, you guys, you just text. You don't have to necessarily talk to anyone. You could just text, right, Ashante?
Yeah, you can just text. It's not really in person most of the time.
That is correct. But grief, because it's so deep, grief is heavy, it's deep, Ashante. And that's why it is important for Talia and Winter Star to, and you even, you too, Ashante, to understand that there might be some feelings that you might feel that you haven't texted about, you haven't talked to anyone about. And once you know that what you're going through is a part of the process, you're able to keep going. Because Mama Joy didn't understand that when her grandfather died, Mama Joy, as a child, she didn't know that this is why she was reacting the way she did and how she was reacting, even in school. Right, Mama Joy?
I didn't know I had changed at all. I didn't know that I had changed at all. But but my principal did observe it, and it took him several days before he got to it, because I just didn't even say anything about my family. Hey, no, there's nothing going on, because
what did they say?
Oh, that's just the way it was. I mean, I just did not process my father's death to make me any different. But people could see it. My grades went down. I wasn't taking care of the body and my hair. And he noticed it, and because I've been given, you know, rewards for being the neatest kid in the school, and then all of a sudden, I didn't even notice that I was not even keeping myself together. I didn't know.
Yeah.
Now I know grieving. I was grieving as a child, and I think it's important for us to, as parents and elders, to take notice of our children and see symptoms of grief. Because it creates scars that can last them a lifetime if it's not addressed, okay, and cause complications for others. So, it gets greater as they live on and become adults, because it's something that they should have resolved when they were children, but now they're victims of their own, lack of addressing that hurt and that pain.
It's called repressed grief, Mama Joy. The grief has to come out or manifest itself somehow. Some people, it comes out, they develop high blood pressure. Some people develop sicknesses. Scientists have proven that your mind and sickness can be directly related to stress or things that are going on with you emotionally. That's a scientific fact. So if you have grief, like you're grieving over your dad and your grandfather, and you never actually got therapy or help for it, as the years went on, that grief was still there. Grief is work. It is a process. You have to go through that process. And there is no expiration date for grief. Something can affect you 10 years later. There is no expiration date for grief. You might not have a reaction to it today, and then 10 years from today, something will happen, like Reverend Rosemary in the cemetery, and that became a trigger for her. I have seen people in Walgreens. I mentioned Walgreens because it has happened to me so much that I can talk about it now. I'm in line at Walgreens, and all of a sudden, someone behind me just starts crying hysterically. You know that ugly cry where you're hyperventilating, you can't breathe, and your nose is snotty, right? And I turn around, and I knew that someone had died. So I got out of the line, walked up to the person, and I said, I am so sorry, and I'm hurting with you. What happened? And then they got out of line, and they start telling me about who just died or who died a month ago or who died a year ago. it never ceases to amaze me that grief is universal And it's not, like Reverend Rosemary said, Mama Joy, it's not just a death. It could be health. I met a lady at the park. This is true. I'm at the park walking my little dog, my little toy poodle. And a lady way across the park, she walks up to me and her hands are shaking. She can barely hold her leash in her hand. She has her dog. And she says, hi. I said, hi. And then I couldn't, Mama Joy, Reverend Rosemary, this lady was across the park in the park on 96 and Longwood. We're walking. Mm-hmm. She started telling me about how she was working and she developed an illness. And because of the illness that she developed, she was no longer able to do the job. She couldn't go back to work. Mm-hmm. And she's telling me about how she's feeling. Now, we're in the park. It's a sunny day. I'm out there to walk my little toy poodle dog. And the lady starts telling me about her loss of her limbs, her legs, and her muscles. Mm-hmm. And we had a group support meeting right there in the park on a sunny day.
You know what? We're just going to ask. We're going to take another commercial. But I'm going to say that we have parents on the line here. We have grandparents on the line here. And
yes.
We have others, too. If you want to participate in the conversation, go over and talk to the children. And at any time, Talia, Princess, Winterstar, Myra, you press 1, and we'll be able to acknowledge you, and you can contribute to this. And we're encouraging the parents to do the adults, too. Yes, we're focusing on the children, but this is something that is generational. And one of the things
yes.
we can do is have other voices so that we can learn how to connect with the pain that is actually affecting all of our lives here in this place called America. And let us
yes.
see what we can do to bring some healing. Like Kathy says, you walking in the park and someone comes and cries, then you'll know how to respond to grief when it
yes.
comes up. We have to be prepared
yes.
for these things because there's too much pain and there's too few of us that's being equipped to really deal with this. So we're going to have another 3 commercials, and we'll be right back. So don't stray or stick away. Stay, but don't stray. We'll
okay.
be right back.
We'll be right back. Okay.
Hi, this is John Alexander.
And I'm Naima Latif. Meet people like you who are making a positive difference in the world.
Big difference.
Watch us every day on The Media Connection at www.youtube.com/TheMediaConnectionTV.
YouTube it. We'll see you soon.
There are people who choose to make a positive difference in the world. Our job is to bring you their stories to motivate you to do the same. Join us each week, host John Alexander and Naima Latif, as we bring you the educators, entertainers, elected officials, religious leaders, and community activists whose works are transforming this world. Find out how you can make a difference, too. Be inspired. Watch The Media Connection.
Mondays at 5 p.m. and Tuesdays at 12 noon on Cable TV Channel 19 in Chicago. And other cities, check your local cable listings.
Do you want to live in a world without war? Join our global peace movement. Heavenly Culture World Peace Restoration of Light transcends culture, religion, ideology, and other boundaries to achieve peaceful harmony in the global society. HWPL is committed to bringing world peace and cessation of war through peaceful dialogue between religious groups. I am Director Shin-Suk Kim of the HWPL Chicago Branch of North America. Join us for our next gathering. Call 773-580-1501 and be a part of the movement for world peace. Email us at chicagohwpl@gmail.com.
Everything you need, what your body needs, is found in nature. So Susan Essentials doesn't do it any other way. Tucson Essentials provides your employees and individuals access to over 20,000 nutritional products, and they are shipped direct to your door. Because Tucson Essentials is certified in plant-based healing, we're permitted to offer you the best nutritional supplements on the planet. They're non-GMO and sustainably produced, and we take the guesswork out for you. Let Tucson Essentials help you take control of your health today.
Now we're at the top of the hour. Yeah, I tell you, that hour went by really fast, and I knew that Magic Kathy is going to be leaving out of here in a few minutes, so I'm going to call these names of any of our new serum or any of you who are interested in sharing in this program, which I am really excited about. So just press 1 so you can be a part of the chat. I heard Talia. Talia, did you want to contribute something at this point? Talia, were you there? Is it Winter Star? I know I heard somebody's voice there.
Yeah, I heard someone. Is that Talia?
Okay,
someone's calling me on the other line. Let me see who this is.
Okay, all righty. Okay, well, is your mom there? Is Pauline, are you there? Okay. If you want to have a part of the program, just open up. You are definitely here. Today we're discussing the topic, are children out of control or are they screaming for help? Our young people are experiencing a lot of painful experiences, and there have not been enough opportunities for them to be able to express how these tragedies are impacting on their lives. And so,
Mama Joy?
What? Yes?
Naima just called me on the other line. She said if you go to your email, you and Reverend Rosemary, and click on the link she just sent you, you'll be seen on the screen. She
okay,
just sent it to you.
She did.
She said go to your email. She just sent it. Another link.
Okay, great. And I don't have it. I don't have it. The only one that I have is what she sent to me. And it may be a flaw in my computer at this time, but I'm not able to get to it. I am Rosemary, are you able to go on? You will not be disconnected from what we're doing.
Up. Up yet.
Yeah. Yeah, we won't be disconnected. You won't be disconnected. You just make that transition. Yeah, check your email and see if you're there.
Yeah, she said she just sent it. I do want to make an announcement, though, before I leave, because I have another appointment, is that every third Saturday, she said she just sent, okay, but anyway, every third Saturday, and Mama Joy attended last month, Reverend Rosemary and Talia and Ashante and Winter Star, we have a talk therapy or grief support meeting on 63rd and Dorchester. And Mama Joy was there, and we will meet there next Saturday.
Right, could you give me that
Mama
address?
Joy,
can you give me that
it's 6320 South Dorchester. 6320 South Dorchester, 6320 South Dorchester, 11 a.m.
Okay.
to 2 p.m., 6320 South Dorchester, 11 to 2. We do serve a full buffet spread of food because a lot of people don't eat when they're grieving. So we supply all kind of good food for you to eat, and we talk about what you might, some of the symptoms you might be experiencing, and that'll be next Saturday.
Got you. Thank you so very, very
okay,
much.
I'm gonna wish everybody a happy Mother's Day. If there are any other questions I can answer for anyone before I exit out, I can answer a question. If there's a grandmother or someone on the line before I get off, I can answer one more question before I leave.
Yeah, I see my brother on here. I'm going to ask him. I don't know if he's prepared for whatever, but he's always for a comment. But are you available to make any comments so far, Ern, that you've heard so far today?
Yeah, I tell you, I'm the purpose of life for me, and I'm not trying to indoctrinate anyone, but the purpose of life is joy, for happiness, and if we're not having happiness and joy, we're missing the purpose of life. We're missing it totally, and most of us are looking for joy and happiness outside of ourselves, when the peace and the joy and the happiness is right inside of us. Look inside. You'll find your peace. You don't have to go outside. You don't have to change anybody. You don't have to disrupt the world or straighten the world out. The peace that you want is inside of you. Look inside. I could go on for a while, but I'm let you go because I think that's enough for you to hold on to right now.
Well, I believe that I agree. I agree with you that the peace is within, but we help you find peace within as you go through the process because grief is real. Life is real. Life happens. Things happen, the good, the bad, and the ugly. So the joy that is already in you, we help you get to the point where you need to get because everyone, no one's perfect. And everyone's going to have moments where you're up and down and in between like an EKG. Sometimes life is like an EKG, but it's okay. We're going to help you get through that. Right, Mama Joy?
That's right. That is right because, like I said, I lived with my grandpa, and I did attend the session last month, and the story I told there was the fact that I did not have the opportunity to grieve my father's passing, and that's been over 60 years, and yet I'm still being revealed how that has had impacted my life and the decisions that I made. And so I'm being released of that. And that is a reality. And I agree that there's peace within us. But I also know that if we are not taught how to deal with these things that are impacting on our lives and our deep emotions, that emotions are real, and intelligence, the feelings are real. And when we're not able to tap into those feelings, it's just like you said with Ashanti, they just blow it off. But it's still there. It's still there.
Yeah.
And it is affecting your liberty. That is what I'm beginning to find, Kathy. It affects our liberty and our ability to be free, to get that joy, to get that birthright that God wants us to have.
Yeah.
And that is a fact, and that is true. And for me to go to the first grief class and talk about my daddy that died in 1953, now you know that's something.
Yeah, but remember, Mama Joy, there is no expiration date for grief.
And that proves it. There was no expiration date, and here it is, and I'm getting out of it. And I am experiencing a bigger joy, and I am experiencing more confidence, Kathy. And I just want to thank you for that. And that was the motivation for me having had the show, and Reverend Rosemary was in agreement with it. And so we're happy for this discussion because her thing is, hey, we want to end with some joy. We want to end with some happiness. And so this is not something that we're looking for grieving. No, we want to release that joy because even when scripture says joy to the world, the Lord has come.
Yes.
The world still has not been able to grasp joy. And weeping has been too long. It has been a long night.
But there is hope. Yes, but there is hope. There is hope, and that's why I'm so excited. I'm so excited about the hope that we have and we're sharing. And I'm so glad that Mama Joy and Reverend Roser and myself are showing that there is hope. And talk therapy is that hope. And Mama Joy, you're a different person since that last meeting we had, right? Yes.
Yes, indeed. I certainly am. And grateful. And I hadn't thought about that. Reverend Rosemary, what do you think about that? Grief has no expiration date. And think about how many things we have grieving, and we have to deal with that, okay, if we're going to be free to substantiate our joy. If we're not willing to deal with those issues, then we will not be able to be to the fullness of what it is and who that God has intended for us to be. That, to me, is very important because we stifle our maturity to be able to be what we've been born to be. Thank you. I bought that one out.
People deal with...
Amen. I agree. Amen, Mama Joy. Amen.
People deal with grief in different ways. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, just speak up a little louder,
okay.
Mary.
The most helpful thing for grieving people is to be able to just to express their feelings in any way that feels most comfortable for them. Some instance is with art or music or talking, exercise, writing. So people express their grief in different ways. It's not people don't always express their grief sad. You know, you might not even know that they're grieving. They just get really, really busy doing things. So it's expressed in different ways. And grief.
Well, I call that. It's going to come out somehow. It's going to come out. I call it the Energizer Bunny reaction to grief. So some people is like, oh, I life goes on. I just got to keep moving. And they're, I'm laughing because the grief will come out. It'll come out when they're in the emergency room. They'll come out with high blood pressure. It's going to come out. But this talk therapy is so wonderful because there's hope. And I got to go, you guys. I got another appointment. Grace and peace to everyone.
Thank you.
Mama Joy, give them that phone number they can call. We do have a 24-hour number they can call. They can call us at 3 o'clock in the morning just to say I had a dream or I'm having a moment. 773-256-4144. 773-256-4144.
Got it, baby. Thank you so very much.
It's free. Love you guys. Have a happy Mother's Day, everybody.
Thank you. Come back. Thank you.
I'm looking forward to our next meeting. Okay. God bless. God be with you.
Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Well, that was great. That was great. I've asked Ashanti to come back on because that's my granddaughter, and you know, I noticed that she was having some issues because they were moving to a new school. But anyway, anyone wants to make any comment, just press 1, so you can get into this conversation. We would love to have your voice. And one of the things that I noticed that she has become very much involved in her art. And to have that brought out, you saying that individuals have different ways of expressing their grief. And so she's really gotten really into her art, and she's doing some really beautiful work.
And you know what, Joy, that's a very positive way to deal with grief. Some people have made really beautiful paintings, and like Picasso, that may have been out of grief. Who knows? Okay.
Well, we know, what is his name? I can't think of the artist name. Oh, my stars. He
the
was
one
just
who
had
paint-
a
hmm? Go on.
Yeah, he had
Sorry.
A he did an ex- his paintings were on exhibit. Gosh, I'm looking right at his face, and he was depressed until he did a lot of paintings. In fact, it was said that within his last 2 years, he did about 2,000 paintings. You know, so yeah, art is a positive weight. So I appreciate that. You know, and it's important for us to be able to see the different symptoms of grief. Anyone wants to share any experiences of how they work through those stormy days or difficult times when they have adjusted? Just press one. Press one, and then we'll be there. Is that 5109? Are you here? 5109? You can state your name and where you're calling from. Okay, what about 002? I see that you're on. And
0002 is Reverend Rosemary.
Okay.
So talking about grief, it's not the easiest topic. And so I want to go back to your brother on the line. Your brother.
Okay.
What's your brother's name?
Uh-huh.
Is he still on the line? I really liked what he was saying about joy. And so we need to, so if anyone, if we're done with grief, we can start talking about joy. Because it's really, grief is a hard subject, you know. It's difficult because it starts to bring back things that you may not want to deal with.
Well, it's okay if you, maybe, but by the same token, it's a part of life, and we deal with it, and that's the whole while. The reason why we're dealing with it is because we know that we are not experiencing the amount of joy that we want. And, you know, in your program for Powerful Conversations, one of the issues that challenges, I should say, not issues, was that you were always pulling for the positive and asked the question, and it was always, why are we living beneath? Why? What are we doing to live beneath?
Why
and
are we living beneath our privileges?
Our privileges, right. And one of the reasons why is because we do not honor the truth, are looking in ourselves, what is holding us back? That is. The truth is that we have not been able to grieve. A lot of things.
Okay.
You, all those losses that you had, girl, please. I know.
Why do we live in privileges? Is because we have forgotten that we have forgotten our heritage. We have forgotten that we are children of God and that we are created in his image and after his likeness. So that's a whole other way of thinking, because we are born with an expiration date, and this world will cause some things that will cause you to, or us, all of us, to grieve over it. But we must learn how to apply God's word to our lives. Okay, that's where I was coming from. I would say things like, what's in your bag, meaning what's in your mind, and how did it get there, and there are consequences to the things that's in our baggage. So we have to get rid of it as quickly as possible. And let us not forget that the Christ lives within us. And so it's a two different, totally different things. I'm not saying that there's no grief. I'm not saying that there aren't sad things. I'm not saying that there aren't, that things don't happen. But things don't just happen. Things happen just. And I also think that it's the way, okay, we all are going to make our transition one day. Okay. So it's really be a good thing if we kind of accept that, and like a whole another narrative in the world, really, in the families, that, you know, grandma's getting older. We don't get to live 200 years instead of going, you know, just getting really so sad about it. Just know that this is inevitable. It's inevitable that we will make our transition. But the thing that makes it so sad is how, like our teenagers, our young people, it's how the people are dying. That causes grief. How, you know, being killed, being whatever, that bad way like that. That really causes grief like that. But once a person has made his transition, you really have to let it go because, you know, it's like, what can I do? My son made his transition like 3 years ago.
Your list, Reverend Rosemary, your list was a long list of losses. And that's the whole thing. We're not just talking about grief because of a loss of a person, but we're talking about being able to identify when you have experienced a loss and when it has impacted upon your life. And you spoke about the loss of a limb, retirement, and retirement.
As changes, Mama Joy, changes occur in our lives, okay? There may be feelings of loss associated with them that we're not familiar with. Not necessarily grief, but it's just something, different things that happen in our lives. And I did say a lot of things like their social standing and retirement and physical changes. And
it's
loss
important,
of grief.
Important because many people don't get it. That's why I asked you to use the because that they never even see that, and that's the whole thing. People have not expanded their minds to accepting their feelings. You know, the feelings that we have, you know, and taking ownership of those feelings and how it impacts on our lives, and we
and,
just brush it aside. It's relevant
and like
to that.
It's not our job. It's not our job to take the pain away or the grief away. That's not our job. Our job is to hold the watch for them. Our job is to speak life into their life. Okay, our job is called. That's what our job is. It's take the pain away. It's not to say, oh, it's okay. No, that's not our job. Our job is to hold the high watch, a spiritual space for them. So the person can move, and God is greater. We just don't want to push that part out. Because that's the most important part is what we believe, okay? Because, as I always say, our actions are based on our beliefs. So that's all I want to say about that.
I'm trying to get Ernest back on. I'm having a little challenge with my computer. So, Ernest, you want to comment on what Reverend Rosemary said?
No. I'd like to say this, though. In the church, I've experienced us being defined as a spiritual being, having a material existence. And if that's the power of us in spirituality, then that's where we should be getting our guidance from, our information from. And if the biggest prayer I would pray would be to be a good listener. Following the crowd is not conducive to our progress, but listening to that superior part of us, that's where we get our development, self-development, our inspiration, our peace and our love and our now, the inspiration that we receive, always positive, always positive. We look at history, and we love history. We go back and talk about all the accomplishments, and then we talk about all the disasters, all the negatives, and we focus on the negatives more than we do the positive. And that's what we're doing here with this emotional thing, is this we're going back and we're looking at the negatives, and there's no peace in that. If we just quit going back there, looking at the negatives, see me? I'm telling you, they'll disappear. But we keep going back there and get them. We keep going back there and get the negatives. We said, no time limit on it? No, because we keep going back and get it. I'm not trying to convert anybody. I just want to let you know where I am. Just let you know where I am. That's Ernest. Thank you. Have a good day. Have a good Mother's Day.
Thank you, Ernest. I appreciate that.
Yeah, Ernest, I do too. And Rosemary, yeah. can you hold? We're at a half hour from closing. And did you want to respond to him? And then we'll get to the commercial. You want me to get the commercial? What do you want to do? You want to respond?
So, why don't you go on with the commercial?
Okay, great. Yep, you get to those points. Yep. Appreciate that very much. See you right back. Don't go away. Don't stray. We'll be right back.
I'm Viata, your holistic life coach. These days, it's more important than ever to work on your physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual health. Are you consciously breathing deeply in stressful moments? Do you have a plan or daily routine to maintain balance in your awesome body? Are you struggling to be disciplined in your eating habits? When you partner with me, I'll help you develop a personalized health plan that works for your particular lifestyle. You can find out more about me at yourholisticlifecoach.com, where you can also review my 3-step protocol to guide you to abundant health. That's yourholisticlifecoach.com, and I'm Viata.
Do you worry about finances, family, health, job, relationships? Are you in pain? Do you feel stuck? If you answered yes to any of these questions, help is available. Don't worry, you're not alone. It's part of the human process. You only feel this way because you haven't mastered the voices in your head. No hype, just down-to-earth, solid, workable tools and techniques that you can practice daily. It's really food for the soul. Whether you want to learn how not to worry about anything, reverse type 2 diabetes, publish a book, promote your product or service, or just make extra money. To take advantage of the deal of the day, go to ZeldaSpeaks.com or call 312-409-6619. Mention promo code TheFemaleSolution and get free shipping. That's ZeldaSpeaks.com or 312-409-6619. Stop worrying today. Visit ZeldaSpeaks.com.
Hi, I'm Mama Joy.
And I'm Reverend Rosemary.
Join us every second Saturday of the month, 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Time, here on The Female Solution Global Radio TV Show for Neighborship of Joy.
We'll have powerful conversations inviting women to walk in the light.
So call in 515-605-9325 and press 1 to speak to the host.
You can also join us live on the Female Solution Facebook page and YouTube channel.
So see you on the second Saturday on the Neighborship of Joy.
Hey, it's time to take charge of your health.
I'm Viata, your holistic life coach, and every Friday morning at 8 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time, I'm here on The Female Solution to empower you to make choices that will assist your evolution to abundant health. I'm also blogging every Sunday evening at 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time at Soul Purpose Healing, where I bring you a spiritual chiropractic adjustment to bring you back into alignment with our Creator's love, compassion, and wisdom. Join me every Friday morning at 8 a.m. and Sunday evening at 8 p.m. for a time of unity, enlightenment, and love vibration. Shalom.
Have you ever dreamed of going to exotic places, meeting fascinating people, enjoying uplifting music, and spending nights in a luxurious hotel? Do you look forward to a relaxing vacation where you can walk along the beach or sit in a quiet park and enjoy the sunset or sunrise? Whether you're flying around the world or driving across the country, we will share travel tips that will help you stay safe while you enjoy the journey. Join me every third Saturday of the month, 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Standard Time, and move around with Deborah here on the Female Solutions Show. Call in and comment 515-605-9325 and press 1 to speak.
All right, we're back, and we've got about 25 minutes in the closing of the show, so we want to thank you for staying and not staying away. And we have been highlighting for our kids, our children, today, and most of them, I don't see them anymore. But anyway, Rosemary, what are your thoughts at this point of the game?
Okay, I was responding to Ernest. He was saying that we're going through a physical experience. I think that's what he was saying. And I agree, because we are spiritual beings going through a physical experience. And I'm not suggesting that we put our heads in the sand or in the clouds. But what I am saying is there are things that happen, you know, and we do experience on a physical plane, on this physical experience, we do experience anger, resentment, loneliness. We experience doubt and fear, and there's negative talk and depression and frustrations in many forms. But on the other hand, when we recognize our spiritual self, our spiritual that we are spiritual beings, that's a whole other place to be. And as I said earlier, that we have to teach our children very young who they truly are, so they can know that this strength is already within them, that they are created in the image and likeness of God, and that they have the same DNA as God, the same dominion, the same nature, and the same authority, and that they have the ability and the power to speak life into whatever situation is going on. And that does take time. So we need to teach our children from very young age, teach them to pray, teach them who they are, teach them how to think, because always say, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Because our behavior is based on the way we think and the way we believe. So yes, there will be some trying times in our lives. I'm not saying put your head in the sand or in the clouds, but just be aware. We teach our children and ourselves to be aware that there is a power greater than anything out here, out there in the world.
Yeah.
Greater
okay.
he
All right.
that is within me than he that is in the world. That was my comment.
So then who's the identifying, you know, the who are the we the people that have to teach these children? Because what you're saying is absolutely true. But the kids are not getting it, and they're not being taught. So how do we do that? How do we do that? And where does it start? Because that's another thing. We're saying some good stuff, but then how do we get that message to the children?
Okay. When I was growing up, there were certain rules. We had to go to church every Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
We had prayers. Prayer was in the
school. Anyone wants to get in the conversation, just press 1. Sorry about that, Rosemary. Press 1. Mm-hmm. Good.
But since then, there have been a lot of changes. So we need to go back to the basics. We need to teach our children and not depend on society to teach our children what they should learn at home. Now, it's not too late, even for our teenagers. It's not too late. They need activities. They need things to do. They need to know that they are loved. You know, when most people look at teenagers, they look at them with a look of disgrace or look at them. You know, you look at somebody saying a disapproval. They're looking at our kids with disapproval. The kids are picking
exactly.
it up.
Yeah.
So next time you see a teenager, look at them with love. You know how you look at a kid when – a little kid and they're doing something wrong, you just give that disapproving look to them and they know to stop. Well, we tend to be doing that to our kids. And when our kids do something, even on the news, right away they attack the victim rather than they attack the victim. They'll say, he didn't finish school. He's in a family of they're a one-parent family, and the mother is this. And so they're being attacked everywhere, so we need to love our children. We need to care about our children. We need to change the narrative about our children. And you see these young boys walking around with their pants hanging down. Well, just be quiet. You know, because when we all had our young days, you know, where you wore certain things that maybe the adults didn't approve of. So let them be who they are, but let us love them and hold them high in our minds. Hmm? That's our
okay.
job. We
That's
keep a good thought of them. Because we tend to put our kids down more than we do.
Yeah. So how do we get this out of our minds and get it on the table for discussion? What we've done today, I believe we were able to do that. I know I had some challenges on my board, so we did lose some people. But I think
what
that
we did.
Today, did mm-hmm.
What we did today, good, but it was very limited because there were only about 8 people. What we must do as adults is to be an example.
We had more than 8 people. We had more than 18 kids.
However,
no, we had more
it was very limited. What was I saying?
Okay.
We have an example for our young people.
Okay.
You know, stop rating them. Stop looking down on them. Stop thinking bad thoughts about our children. Our children are great. These black kids have great personalities. They are really great kids. They're great. They're very, they have creativity. We need to talk that up about them, okay? So wherever we go and wherever they, even around adults, we need to talk this talk about our kids. Let this become the narrative for our children, okay?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I don't know how far we've gotten off our conversation.
What we're talking about is being able to open them up for the joy, for them to feel a value. How do we get our out of our feelings to be able to show our children that we value them? You know, how do we grow from
a limited number to a greater number. We had quite a few people today, quite a few. And then not only that, but Naima has opened up for the StreamYard. So, you know, I don't know how many people do this on Facebook, right? But we had quite an audience today, and that's a great thing. But I also know that even some of the podcasts, I'll see they have millions of people, but you know what? We don't even know about. So, but they have grown an audience where they can command a few thousand of people. It takes time and it takes, you know, work to grow there. They didn't start off with that. So how do we expand? How do we grow to the audience and get this message that we want to give, and so that we can help others, adults as well, but even children to hear the message and be empowered by it. I know we're saying a lot of things, but how do we get to them is the question. And
one thing,
yes, go ahead.
Everything starts where, Joy? Where does everything start?
It starts
everything
with a thought.
Everything starts in the mind.
Mm-hmm.
In the mind. So we must be on one accord. We must change our narrative about who our children are, and we must love our children. You know, it's because our thoughts are things, and our thoughts make it our... Anyway, our thoughts are things. They're not just sitting in your head. Our thoughts are things, okay? And we must be on one accord. And I'm just going to go to the book when they talk about the Tower of Babel. And the people were making this tower to reach heaven.
Uh-huh.
And God said, the people have become one. And whatever they agree on, that's what it will be. So that's what
exactly.
I'm saying. We, in one accord, are, you know, we start just talking a different kind of talk, and then other people will start talking the different kind of talk about how wonderful our children are, how educated they are, how great they are. And we become in one accord, okay? But we have to keep that conversation going, and it starts in the mind of man. Now that's my thinking on it, because man thinks it's hard, so is he. So,
well,
we're not going to be this difficult. We're just going to love our children. And even when we see them doing wrong, we're going to love them anyway. We're going to love them because they know not what they do. And they're doing that out of frustration. They're doing it out of, well, how did you start this program with our
frustration? And that's part of the conversation. Some of them say out of confusion.
Yeah,
some of them say they're confused.
So let's stop downing our kids, you know? Start right here with me. If it is to be, it is up to me. Okay.
And I think I believe we did that today. And I believe, well, the intentions were to show value for the children, for them to know it's okay for them to express their feelings about it. And I think that the list that you presented of showing us the different kinds of losses was very valuable. And that's reality, again, to not have our heads in the clouds or in the sand, but to live in between that cloud and on top of the sand, not in the sand, to be able to walk with the mind of knowing that things are happening to us, impacting on us, and we know how we adults are being impacted. And if our children are not given the proper knowledge about who they are, just keep reminding them of who they are, and encourage them. And so I believe that was the objective for value to be instilled in them. And I feel that as a start, we gave them an opportunity, and so, yeah, they're shy. So we have to do it again.
And it's not something that that you do one time and leave it be, but it's through repetition and making it, making that knowledge known to them, and so that they can feel that we're really sincere about it, is what has to happen. So I'm going to invite them again, because this is not a one-stop shop and a one-stop message that once it's said and that's the end of it. That's why we have services. We have go to our church services every week. We have classes that will target in on these lessons, and even for parents, you know, because they're the first ones with the children. And not to mention that some children don't even have parents. But doing the best that we can, and I feel that the intentions were are very honorable, and I feel good about what we were able to do. And number one, providing a place for them where they feel that they're being heard. That's very important. You can't solve everything at one time, but, again, presenting it, being not repetitious in the fact and redundant, but just having this audience to come so that they will know that we are sincere in hearing them. And as Ernest said, we have to be good listeners and hearing them. And allow them to be shy. Give them a chance to, when we come back, they'll be a little bit looser, because this was something new for them. So I'm happy that we got the number that we did. And, I mean, it's not like you plant a seed and you, an apple seed, and then you look for a tree and apples with more seeds the next day. It takes time. It takes time. And I feel that we're growing. It took a lot. And it was a good lesson for me, and learn, and also be able to listen to children and hear what they're saying, so we can learn something too. You know, so I feel good about what we did. We had some challenges. I feel very good about it. I feel good about the number of people that we have here. And if there's anyone who wants to chime in on it, please feel to do so. Just press the number one. This is Mama Joy and Reverend Rosemary now. We had an earlier guest with us, Reverend Kathy, who is a grief counselor, and she gave us a number of points, and she had to. She wants us to know that grief counseling is free at the Apostolic Church on 65th and
Stony Island.
No, it's not Stony Island. It's on 63rd Street. I just wrote the number down. 6328 South Dorchester. Hello. 6320 South Dorchester, every third Saturday from 11 to 2. If you are under any kind of loss or stress with jobs, or you have an illness that you have found out about, or you've lost a loved one or whatever, grief counseling is available for you every third Saturday at 6320 South Dorchester here in Chicago. It's the third Saturday from 11 to 2. She also left us a number, too, that we can call, 773-256-4144. We had a number of kids, children on, I got to get away from kids. My daughter telling me kids are goats, baby goats, so we don't have. Yeah, I guess that's another start we can go, Rosemary. Stop calling our children kids, right?
Yeah.
And call them children. Yeah,
our young
so we
people.
Can do that. Yeah, our young people, right. Don't label them as kids. But anyway, we had a very good discussion. Mm-hmm.
And the grief counseling at that address is free, with no cost. But I throw that in there.
I'm glad you threw it in there, because that's impressive, right? Okay.
Mm.
I've got a, 4490? I don't know. We have a 4490 there. They've
yeah,
got their hand.
This is Ms. Sullivan, and I wanted to chime in. Excuse me, now I've been listening, so I've got some food in my mouth. But
yeah.
when Kathy was talking about the grief, I don't know if she mentioned.
I'm sorry, I missed your name.
Sullivan, Miss Sullivan.
Oh, Ms. Sullivan. Okay, thank you, Ms. Sullivan.
Mm-hmm. When Kathy was discussing about grief, I don't know if she mentioned anything about guilt. There's a lot of guilt tied up with grief. And I think when we start untangling a lot of things, we have to look at the broad spectrum of what's going on. Basically now, rather than people grieving a lot, they now, a lot of the people say a celebration. The people that, you know, we're having a celebration, they're going to their homecoming. And that kind of lightens the load upon grief because, you know, the people are going to a better place as we read in the Bible and are told. We're going to a better place. And as I said, I think that kind of lightens up the load. But I like your program. It was a nice program. And I'd be interested in listening to you again. Thank you.
Thank you. Now, you're saying guilt. Can you expound a little bit about guilt and how that
well,
fits
actually,
in with
you know, a lot of many times a lot of people, when a person died, they'll think, well, I could have done this or something like that. Even, let me give an example. This little girl, her grandfather passed away. And she told her mother, she said, you know, Grandpapa used to ask me to kiss. If I kiss him, he'd open his eyes, you know, like how your grandpeople play, you know, be playing with. She said, and she was thinking, she felt guilty. She thought that she could kiss her grandfather and bring him back alive. And she thought about the times that she never did kiss him when he said to kiss him, so, you know, and he'll open his eyes. So that little girl felt very guilty about that, you know, and her parents had to sit down and explain to her. So it could be some strong guilt, it could be some light guilt, but sometimes it is a certain amount of guilt that is involved in grief, especially strong grief. Grief is really actually a spirit that comes upon you. And if you, when you find out that it's taken you down so far, you know, that you find yourself crying in the middle of the day of this or being heavy on this or this thing wearing too heavy, sometimes the wrong spirit has moved in on guilt, on grief.
Grief.
And it'll take you out of here. So you have to bind up that spirit of grief a lot of times.
So thank you, Ms. Sullivan. That's true. I didn't quite understand what you were meaning, but I see what you're saying. And again, we're dealing with child.
No, what you said you didn't understand because I can explain it.
Well, thank you. I needed to hear that.
So guilt is this emotion can be imaginary or exaggerated, but it should not be ignored. You know, seldom does the bereaved pause and remember the beautiful times when all the love and tenderness were evident. And like Ms. Sullivan said, they go through guilt because they feel like I could have done better, or maybe, you know, you feel like it's your fault, you know, and that's where the guilt comes in. Following that, it's common experience for the survivor to remember only the negative aspects of the relationship and those times of insensitivity or harsh words spoken in anger. And like I said, they seldom remember the good parts, you know, the times when everything is good and loving. And that's where the guilt comes in. That's when people feel guilt because they, like Ms. Sullivan said, they always feel like I could have done more.
Yeah.
I should have been there. But we can't take that on. We shouldn't take that on. That just causes more heartache.
Well, okay. Well, we dealt with heartache and grief and loss. But I hold to scripture say, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. And so on top of that, we just want to express our joy and our appreciation for each and every one of you who have come out here today with us. And our young people that showed up, thank you.
So,
and we invite them back again. What do you think about that? And the next time they'll be just a little bit less, a little bit looser to have a discussion because they're not accustomed to this. But I'm happy that they had the courage to be here.
Appreciate all our people on the line today.
So you want me to say a closing something, Joy?
Yeah, please do.
Okay, so as we bring our session to a close, let us acknowledge that the light of God surrounds us, the love of God enfolds us, the power of God protects us, and the presence of God watches over us. And wherever we are, God is, and so it is. God bless you guys, and we love you, and looking forward to hearing from you the second Saturday of each month. Thank you.
Yes, indeed. Thank you, Reverend Rosemary. And again, thank you for our evangelist, Kathy Ellington, from the Grief Ministry at the Apostolic Church on 63rd Street here in Chicago. And again, we will close with the invitation that has been extended to you all for every third Saturday from 11 to 2 p.m. at 6320 South Dorchester. you have grief counseling, and it is free, okay? And, of course, we want to welcome you back, invite you to come back second Saturday of June, which is right in the week of Juneteenth. And so we're here looking for some happy hours and happy times and looking for your presence again with us. So on that note, we say God bless you. And thank you very, very much for being here on A Few Minutes with Lucy.
We've come to the end of our show today, but you can hear every show in the archives at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution. You can also hear today's show on the Female Solution Facebook page. Go to www.facebook.com/thefemalesolution. Leave your comments about today's show. You can always reach me on my website at www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com. Watch our TV shows, listen to our radio shows, order our books, and be sure to get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to thank all of you who participated in today's discussion. And to our global family listening from all around the world, we say thank you. To our family in China, Sheshe. India, Zanyaba. Japan, Arigato. Korea, Kamsahamnida. Russia, Spasiba. Germany, Danke. Poland, Dziękuję. France, Merci. Spain, Gracias. Italy, Grazie. Egypt, Shukran. Ghana, Medasi. Nigeria, Eshe. South Africa, Ngiyabonga. Senegal, Jerez. Kenya, Asante. Israel, Toda. Pakistan, Shukriya. Afghanistan, Tashakur. Saudi Arabia, Shukran. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Thank you, and may peace be upon you, and the mercy of God, and God's blessing.